On a footy front, from AFL.com, Melbourne will send star defender Jake Lever to the United States later this month as part of his rehabilitation from the second knee reconstruction of his career. So, such high hopes for Melbourne to try to get Jake Lever back and be the player that they recruited him to be. The AFLW, the second round. North Melbourne, still unbeaten, looking every inch what they promised to be in a severely interrupted game in Sydney on Friday night, be it storms, be it light towers that refused to cooperate. Melbourne down Collingwood in the return to Victoria Park. The Bulldogs had the better of Geelong. It was a high-scoring Sunday. Adelaide beat Carlton 9-7, 13-point winners. And then Fremantle are a high-scoring juggernaut. It's not a phrase that marries up that easily with the Dockers throughout time, but their women's side is 10-7-67 over the Brisbane Lions 6-4-40. The question out of it all is, are the best five teams all in the one conference? Certainly the three unbeaten teams are, North Melbourne, the Bulldogs, Fremantle, Adelaide and Melbourne. To help us answer this question, she's covering it. She's watched all five games across the weekend from Fox Footy, Sarah Olley. Sarah, good morning.
Good morning, Jared. How are you?
I'm good. Is Conference A absolutely loaded?
It is absolutely loaded. You're correct there. And I think even though we've got two ladders, one for Conference A and one for Conference B, I was just looking, and if you were to put all the teams together, the first five teams would all be from Conference A. So it does look like one is fully loaded with the five best teams at the moment. So there's a bit of an imbalance there. I don't know if it will correct itself by the end of the season, but the three unbeaten teams are from Conference A, and then you've got Melbourne and Adelaide, who are one win and one loss, but both look like they're very strong teams.
It looms as a little bit of a disaster, doesn't it, Sarah, in the first year of a conference system, which is a little bit orchestrated for when future teams come in, that if it does end up that the best five are in one, is that's going to be quite unsatisfactory.
Oh, it's going to be awful, especially if we've got, you know, a few teams that have, you know, lit up the competition throughout the 8 weeks and they're not there in the preliminary finals and in the grand final. I mean, the AFL, when they worked out the conferences, did it with the best intentions, mm-hmm. you know, splitting 1, 3, 5 and 7, 2, 4, 6 and 8, and then, of course, putting the new team, North Melbourne and Geelong, in separate conferences. I guess it seems to make sense. There's always going to be a conference that's slightly stronger just because the teams that finish on the odd numbers are better than the ones that finish on the even numbers. But this doesn't seem like it's a slight imbalance. This seems like it could be quite strong. And one of the reasons for that is because you were talking about Fremantle before and how they're a scoring juggernaut. Trent Cooper has completely refurbished this team. And Frio are one of the teams that are looking like the strongest. So you've got that. And then you've got Collingwood, Carlton and GWS, who are yet to win a game. And the Giants are a surprising one because many tipped them to be a contender. They're yet to get on the board. We knew that Collingwood and Carlton might have a few issues. Carlton played quite well yesterday against Adelaide. They really took it to them. But Collingwood are having trouble scoring. And we know that if you don't win your first two games the season, as the past three seasons have taught us, is probably done and dusted at that point.
So Collingwood, 3 goals in round one, 1 goal in round two. As Fremantle have the two highest scores so far, 9-5-59, yeah, and 10-7-67. So what is it that is catching the eye in the way the Dockers are playing?
They're just moving with a real fluency. Trent Cooper, when he took over from Michelle Cowan, said, "I want to play attractive footy. I want people to come and watch us kick lots of goals." And he has delivered on that. And the girls are delivering on that. What I've really liked from Freo is, in the first two seasons, it seemed to me like they were relying too heavily on too few, on the likes of skipper Cara Dinellan, Ebony Antonio and Dana Hooker, who's just an out-and-out star. This year, we're seeing some of their middle-tiered players really step up, and that's really alleviating the burden on those girls. So the likes of Ashley Sharp, Sabrina Duffy, Gemma Horton, they're all going forward and kicking goals. And they're playing with a sense of freedom, I guess you would say. They're conceding high scores, it must be said. Their percentage isn't as good as North Melbourne's, but they're doing it in a way that they just say, you know, we're going to run to the end of this match, you match it with us, you know. So there's something really to like about what they've done, and both of their games so far this season have been an absolute joy to watch.
Yeah. North Melbourne, their percentage is 256.4. So is this everything that was promised from a team that was ultra aggressive in the way that it recruited to be the best in it first time out of the gates?
They were ultra aggressive, and I guess the concern was, you know, they recruited big personalities, and sometimes, you know, big personalities don't work so well together, but everything seems to be working down at Arden Street. That team looks a bit scary. I mean, on paper it looks scary, but when you see them play, I mean, even, for example, Emma King, you've got her as your ruck, but then you have her resting forward, and she's kicking 2 goals, I think, per game. There's just stars across every line, but they're working together, which is why they're looking so formidable at this point in time. So it's paid off. I mean, they were aggressive, and they worked within the rules of the game, and so far it's looking like they are the benchmark of the competition.
On Friday night they'll play the Western Bulldogs, so the defending premiers. Did we get our first glimpse of what that's going to look like? Their first game was compromised. If Adelaide had kicked straight, they would have won. They didn't. They kicked 1-11, and the Bulldogs were sort of much more like it against Geelong. What was your take out from that?
I think they're easing into the season. I wouldn't say that they've impressed me anywhere near as much as North and Freo. As you said, I mean, round one, Adelaide will just be shooting themselves in the foot there, because they really should have won that game. They dominated everything except the scoreboard, and it was a real shame for them they couldn't convert. But I think, you know, the Dogs took that 4 points. In round two, it was a much stronger performance, and they're starting to gel a bit more. You know, they're going to love it when Izzy Huntington returns and Brooke Lachlan returns. They're two of their best forwards, and they're missing at the moment. So Izzy's looking at a round five return. Brooke, I think, maybe round six. We know how good some of their players are, especially, you know, the skippers, Blackburn and Brennan, and they've been sensational. I've loved what Lauren Sparks has been able to do in defence. She's really gone to a new level this year. But I think this match will test them. I think this is really going to test them, especially down in Tassie, a new ground for them, where the Kangaroos played so well in round one against Carlton. I think they may be found a little bit wanting, but who knows, maybe if we're looking at the progression, they're going to get even better in round three, and it should be a cracking game nonetheless.
How bitter was it, Sarah, that the number one draft pick, Nina Morrison, so it's the second year in a row that the number one draft pick has been afflicted by the knee, and now the knee reconstruction. How bitter was that as a backdrop to the weekend's footy?
I mean, the highs and lows in 1 week. You know, Nina debuts, 22 touches, a Rising Star nomination. She's the talk of the AFLW world. And then I got a message on Friday going, Nina Morrison's done her ACL. And I was a bit gobsmacked. So I just couldn't believe that that would happen to someone that we've just been talking about so much and celebrating so much. And God, it's just a stark reminder that sport can be so cruel. And it's just such a shame that for the second year in a row, as you said, Jared, that it's happened to our number one draft pick, someone we want to see out there, someone we want to see, you know, doing so well. Of course, every time this happens, and it does happen quite a bit in AFLW, ACL injuries are quite prevalent. You know, it brings that discussion up, if the girl's doing enough to, you know, in terms of injury prevention. And I've spoken to clubs and they believe they're doing as much as they can do. It's just, we know that women across all sports, or sports where you're changing directions such as soccer and AFLW, that there is a higher rate of ACL ruptures. And it's just such a shame for Nina, who just took our breath away with that debut, that it's happened to her. It was just one of those moments you go, no, please, don't be true. But yeah, it's a real shame.
It's such an area for ongoing research. And we know that this time last year there was a real effort made to at least begin that work and see what can be done.
I agree. And we want to be making sure that we're doing everything possible to prevent these kind of things. But I mean, Nina's come through junior talent pathway. So she's not someone who's just, you know, decided to pick up the sport. You know, she's been doing this for a while now. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is there. I believe the clubs are doing everything within their power to make sure this doesn't happen. But I guess as well with, you know, the season being so short and maybe the workload being so intense before that, maybe that could contribute. But I'm not sure. I'm not the expert in that department. I just want to see less of them.
Yes, we all do. Good on you, Sarah. Really appreciate your time.
Thanks, Jared.